Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816. It can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we would love to have you join us for worship or Bible study. Worship service is held every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, with Bible study immediately following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesday nights at 7. Now, we hope you enjoy this lesson from God's Word brought to us by Glenn Colley.
May I tell you how happy I am to see everybody here? We have such a great crowd of folks. What we have done is exchanged a number of our people for a number of visitors because of what day it is. And it's just so good to have you here. And I want to congratulate all of you who are mothers. This week in Japan, 560 miles southwest of Tokyo, Catholic Hospital has started a new practice. I guess it's to thwart infanticide. I don't know, maybe to discourage abortion as well. But it's called a baby hatch. It's in the receiving room of the hospital there, and there's just a door, and the idea is that if you want to abandon your baby, this is the way that you just pull up and you retain your anonymity and you slide the baby in and you push a buzzer and the nurse comes and retrieves the baby, and of course you're long gone by that time. And when I think about the mothers in this room, I think about, my, we're light years away from that in reference to motherhood and the value of motherhood. And I want to talk about motherhood today. And the reason is that you mothers who are Christians are the daughters of the mothers of the Bible whose virtues are extolled. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 3, the Bible talks about Sarah and how she treated her husband Abraham, and all the women in all the years after Sarah lived who treat their husbands with that kind of respect are called the daughters of Sarah. But there are wonderful women, mothers in the Bible. You think about Hannah, the mother of Samuel, who in 1 Samuel chapter 1 wept because she didn't have any children, begging God for children. You think about Genesis chapter 30 and verse 1, and Rachel said to Jacob, her husband, "Give me children or I think I'll just die." Or you think about Jochebed, the mother of Moses, and she not only spent the years with her son rearing him up, but she had the courage to rear him up in the very house of the enemy of Israel, Pharaoh himself. And she put enough of godliness in him that when it came time, Moses, her son, was capable of delivering the people of Israel from Egyptian bondage. What a man of God. Where did it come from? It came from Jochebed. It came from Moses' mother in those early years. And Rizpah. You know the woman named Rizpah in the Bible? She distinguished herself as a mother. Rizpah was a concubine of Saul, King Saul. And she became an interesting player in a fascinating circumstance. You see, over in Joshua chapter 9, Joshua made a covenant, a promise to the people of Gibeah, the Gibeonites, that he wouldn't destroy them and that he would make with them a pact of peace. Well, of course, he found out that he had been deceived and they hadn't told him the truth, but a covenant is a covenant, and he had promised, and so they were to be protected. Well, when Saul came along, he thought that it would be politically popular for him to kill a few Gibeonites, and so he did. Years pass, and in 2 Samuel chapter 21, in the latter years of King David's reign, there was a famine for 3 years, and David goes before God and says, "I don't understand. Why are we facing famine? What do we have to do?" And God said, "It's because of what Saul did. It's because of the Gibeonites, and there's a debt to be paid." And so David goes to the Gibeonites and says, "What can we do to appease you for this? What atonement can we pay?" And they said, "We don't want your money. We want 7 descendants of Saul, and we will hang them." And so David made the selection. He chose the 5 children which Michal, Saul's daughter, had reared, and he chose the 2 sons of Rizpah. Rizpah was one of the concubines of Saul, and they hanged them all on one day, 7 of them. And here's where Rizpah comes in. Just a very brief mention of Rizpah. But the Bible says that she stayed there. They left the bodies hanging, and Rizpah, the mother of those 2 sons, stayed there from the harvest until the heavy rains. Now, I don't know how long that was, but some have speculated it might have been as long as 6 months. And she didn't leave her sons, even though they were dead. She kept the birds away from them. And I know you might say, I wouldn't do that. That doesn't seem reasonable to me. But you would also say, I understand why she did it. Because that's the nature of a mother's love. There are things, ladies and gentlemen, which only a mother can do. Or things which no one can do as well as a mother. And that's the focus of our sermon this morning. Let me show you six of those things. Things which only a mother can do, or which a mother can do better than anybody else. Number one, only a mother can bear children. Seems self-evident. When she conceives, she at that point is a mother. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 20 that Eve was the mother of all living. Had there not been an Eve, of course, the human race wouldn't have been. The chief distinguishing mark between a man and a woman is her capacity to bear children. Number one, only a mother can bear children. But number two, only a mother can communicate with her babies in a magic way. And I don't know if that's a good word to use, magic, for this point, but it's the one that I chose. There have been studies done recently about how unborn children bond with their mothers. There were two studies done. One was funded by the Navy. They were very concerned that women who were with child on the ships, service women, who were around loud noises, that the loud noises might hurt the hearing of the unborn baby. And how much of that goes into that baby, and how dangerous is that? And so they spent $1 million, University of Florida, Dr. Gearhart, and the March of Dimes pitched in on it. The Institute of Health pitched in on it. And the Navy pitched in $1 million to study this. And what they did was to take a microphone and plant it in the ear of a baby, unborn lamb. And then they monitored this, and they would produce various different noises and see how much of that noise would go in and what damage it would do to the ears of that unborn lamb. And what they found was fascinating. You know what? You can't hardly bother the ears of an unborn baby. God has seen to it that a baby is so well protected that you could shoot off a cannon. The baby's ears are fine. You could take that child to a rock concert, and I'm not recommending that, but even that loud music isn't going to hurt that baby inside that womb. You know what the baby hears most of all? The study showed is the sounds of his mother, particularly his mother's voice. In the University of North Carolina, Dr. DeCasper has recently done research on this subject from a different vantage point. He wanted to know about the bonding between an unborn baby and mama. And so he did these experiments. He was fascinated by the way that God made a baby's mouth and the control that a baby has of his mouth when he's first born. Of course, that's for eating purposes, but that he's able to control his mouth in sucking so well. So here was the experiment. He put some little earphones on a 1- and 2-year-old baby. He took a series of a dozen different babies, and he would play for them their mother's voice or another woman's voice, depending on the rapidity with which that baby would suck on a nipple. All right? If the baby sucked very fast, he heard his mother's voice. If he sucked slow, he would hear the pleasant voice of another woman. And you know what happened? 11 out of 12 babies wanted to hear their mother's voice, so they started sucking very fast. They learned that. And so then, to make sure it was a valid test, he swapped it. The slow one would get the mother's voice, the fast one would get the other woman's pleasant voice, and so the babies slowed down because they knew their mother's voice. Here's the second test. He took 16 mothers, expectant mothers, about 6.5 weeks prior to the birth of the baby. And every day they read The Cat in the Hat to their unborn child. Now you may think this is strange. It was an experiment. The Cat in the Hat. And so then, after the babies were born, they put the headphones on. Same sucking test to see if the babies would relate to this. And then they had, if the baby sucked fast, they heard The Cat in the Hat from mother. If they sucked slow, they heard a different story from mother. And you know what? 15 out of 16 wanted to hear the Cat in the Hat. When a mother is singing to her child and putting a diaper on that baby, he's hearing the most pleasant voice in the world, because it's the voice that he's heard in his development in her womb. Now here's what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 to Timothy. From a child you've known the Holy Scriptures. Can we make this practical? From a child you've known the Holy Scriptures. That word for child there is a Greek word, brephos. I've used it 100 different times in talking on the subject of abortion, because this is interesting. The Greek word brephos in Luke chapter 1 is used for an unborn baby. Other times, you know, Elizabeth, when she saw and heard the salutation of Mary, the Bible says the baby leaped in her womb. That Greek word is brephos. Other times it's used to mean a small child. But there's no difference in the word. And we make the point that brephos, that God views the unborn with the same value as the born. He uses the same word to describe both. It is interesting when Paul said to Timothy, from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures. You know what he called Timothy? Brephos. Brephos. And who did he credit for Timothy's knowledge of the Word of God and for his faith? 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. He credited your grandmother Lois, and then your mother Eunice. He said it was your mama. You got this faith from your mama. Is it so hard to picture Eunice reading to Timothy, maybe as a baby? Can you hear her singing to her baby before he was born? Can you hear her before he's able to distinguish one word from another? Can you not imagine her reading from the Scriptures and holding him and telling him about the things of God and about Jesus Christ? Can you not imagine how it was raising Timothy as a child and teaching him the things of God from the lips of his mother? Mothers, listen to me. You have magic in your words. You make sure that you teach your children the things of God. See, it's very easy for us, I think, in Christian families to rely too heavily on the Bible school program. I'm so thankful for our great teachers and our Bible school program. We got a great Bible school program in the West Huntsville family. I mean, we really do. Dedicated teachers who do remarkable things in our classes. And we have kids sing, and we have a kicks program, and we have a youth program, and so many different wonderful things for our young people. We have children all over this audience right now who are filling out pages, papers, relative to what I'm preaching right now. They're focusing at their level on what's being taught. We're doing great things, but let me tell you something. Nothing compares, Mama, to you. Nothing to you and to those children's father. You make sure, and here's your challenge, you make sure that the primary spiritual education of your children comes from you. You know why? Because you have the magic. And you start early, instilling the things of God into your children. You know what? You're special. I'm telling you, nobody can really take your place. Mama, see, because you are able to communicate with your children in that magic way. Number three, only a mother can discipline as a mother. Nobody can discipline like Mama. So it's very amusing to me to see, you know, you grow up and you have children of your own, and then you see your mother, their grandmother, disciplining your children. And your children get away with lots of things. Did you ever turn to your mother when your child did something bad and your mother just kind of ignores it? Did you ever say to your mother, who are you and what have you done with my mother? Huh? How can this be? And she says, I don't know what you're talking about. I treat her just like I did you. Are you kidding me? You would have spanked my bottom for that. Just like that. I'd have been disciplined for that. And now look how you spoil them. That's what you spoil them. Why have you changed? She doesn't really know she's changed, but she has. There's a difference. I talked to a grandmother the other day who is rearing her grandchildren so that her son and daughter-in-law can get very, very rich. And what a sad thing. The grandmother said, I'm worried because I know that I don't discipline those children like their mother does. And daddy doesn't either. Now, don't misunderstand me. Daddies, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And so daddies are to be disciplinarians and discipline those children. And I understand that, but let me tell you something, it's different. See, with daddies, they see infractions, plain infractions of their will in their children, and they handle it. And sometimes daddies are kind of gruff, but they deal with it. But they handle it, and they deal with it, and they're the daddy. But daddies don't have that antenna in the back of their head like a mama does. How does a mama know things about those children that she can't possibly know? When you were small, didn't your mama know things about you and you couldn't figure out how she knew them? How does she know that? The answer is, she's mama. That's how. One of our deacons, Kelly Folks, sent this to me the other day. The things that we owe our mother, I'll just read two or three of them. Our mother taught us to appreciate a job well done. If you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. Our mother taught us logic. If you fall out of that swing and break your neck, you're not going to the store with us. She taught us irony. Irony. Keep crying and I'll give you something to cry about. I like this one. Our mother taught us about contortionism. Would you look at that dirt on the back of your neck? She taught us about hypocrisy. If I told you once, I've told you a million times, don't exaggerate. How about she taught us medical science? If you don't stop crossing your I's, they're going to freeze that way. You know your mother said that. But the thing about it is that those things that my mother taught me when I was little, and for those of you who have Christian mothers, you know this is true. There's Christianity behind the things that she taught us. Now, maybe we didn't really pick up on it when we were little. Those little lessons that we learned as children, like you must share. You've got to share your things. And your mother insisted that you do that, and you're insisting that your children do that. Why? Well, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4 says, look not every man just on his own things, but look every man on the things of others. What's that? You've got to learn it if you're going to be a Christian. And she taught you not to lie, and the worst thing in the world is to lie. You must always tell the truth and don't cheat. Victories don't mean anything if you cheat to win them. You've got to tell the truth. And you see, that's a biblical principle. Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And when you're in worship, you have to behave. My parents thought that the cry room back there was a place to go for a very short amount of time. And it was always to be unpleasant. Unless I was sick or something. You know, the cry room was for me to go and to learn something. Now, why did they go through that? And many of you probably still have little marks on your leg where in worship you misbehaved and your mama pinched you, right? Why is that? Why is that business about be quiet in worship? Why that business about when we stand up to sing, you stand up? And I want you to hold that book. But mom, I can't read. Well, it's okay. I want you to stand up anyway. Why is she doing that? Why? And the answer is because she knows that one day you won't be little. One day you're going to be big. And the Bible says in John 4 and 24 that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And she taught you to respect. And she knew that you learn how to respect God by learning how to respect her and learning how to respect your father. And so Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. That's a fascinating passage. Why? To whom is that command written? It's written to children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. But children can't read. It's about parents. Parents, you make sure they learn this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And mama knew the rules too. Don't ignore your babies. Don't ignore your children. They belong to you. You see to them. You know where they are. You know what they're doing. Don't ignore your children. Number two, don't yell at your children. When you're disciplining them, don't correct them and make them do your will because you're louder and scarier. Make them obey you because you're mama. She knew the rules. Never let your child sass you without correction. It's a challenge of the will. And when they're little, you must win every challenge of the will. For if you do not, next time the challenge of the wills will become greater. You can't sass mama.
She knew. And only a mother disciplines at the level and in the way that mothers do. Here's number four. You want me to tell you how you're special? Only a mother can talk about purity and morality, teach these things to her daughter at the mother level. At the mother level. Ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing too personal for a mama to talk to her daughter about. That's self-evident. And so there comes a time when the girl begins to grow and she develops, and the mother says, "You know, your skirts are getting too short. We're going to let the hems out. You can't wear those shorts anymore because they're too short. That blouse doesn't meet your pants anymore, and so we're not going to wear that anymore." And then she sits down with her daughter, who doesn't understand why, because everybody else dresses like this. Why can't I? And mother explains, and she talks about men. And she says, "You know, there are many men out there who are trying to live good lives. And here's the truth about men and women." And she explains that to her daughter. And she talks about purity and morality. And I'm here to tell you, wait a minute. You think about that discussion and answer this question. You think that discussion could come just as well from her daddy? Grandmother? How about friend at school? Let me tell you something. The one who is best for that discussion about morality and purity and what's right and wrong is mama. It's mama. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 4, the older women are to teach the younger women. And two of the things in that passage are to be discreet and to be chaste. Discreet means that we're to raise these young women up with an understanding about sensitive matters and that they're to be treated sensitively. And the intimacy with which God blessed marriage is one such thing. She's to understand these things. But how will she possibly know? How can a young girl growing up, and a boy for that matter, but how can a young girl grow up and know these things? The answer is her Christian mama sits down and talks to her and tells her. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 22, and this is a fascinating verse. Are you ready for this? Maybe you know this. "A jewel of gold or a ring of gold in a swine's snout and a lovely woman who is without discretion are the same." And so a mama teaches her daughter about purity and about morality. And the word chaste means pure and clean. And a mama teaches her daughter about these things. She teaches the rules. She teaches her rules about dating. And you can't date until you're this old. Your daddy and I have discussed it, and this is how old, and you can't date before then. And when you do, there are going to be some rules. You can't go into a boy's ever. You'll never, ever go into a boy's bedroom and close the door. And he can't come into your bedroom and close the door because that's inappropriate. And you can't be alone at home with the boy that you're dating because that's inappropriate. I don't mean even for a short amount of time. And I don't want you watching movies. We're not going to watch movies that are of a suggestive, sexually suggestive nature, and particularly not with a boy, not with your boyfriend. We're just not going to do that. And here's touching which is appropriate, and here's touching which is inappropriate. And here's why. Reckon from whom that should come. Point number five. Nobody can teach the value of home and family like a mother can. Nobody can teach the... Right now, if you have children at home, your children are in a very specialized school. They're learning about values in the home. How important is it that mother prepare good and nutritious meals for that family? How important is that? Or is it just not important? How important is it that she tend to her home and that she's the queen of that house and that she sees to it, that it's a well-run household? How important is that? How important is it that she recognize the biblical roles in her family, the biblical role for a wife and a mother and a father and a husband and parents and the children, and that she respects those things? How important is that? I understand that fathers teach this too, but I'm saying that by example, a mother is the one who sets the emotional tone for the house. And she teaches those children by the way that she lives the value of family and home, and that we put a priority on this. And mothers understand this. And it's so important. Titus chapter 2 and verse 4. Again, the older women are to teach the younger women. Think about these things. Now, I'm going to read the verse to you, but I want you to remember that the end of the verse says, you got to do these things because if you don't, the word of God will be blasphemed. Love your husbands. Love your children. Be discreet and chaste and keepers at home and good and obedient to your own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. And Christian mamas want to be there for those little children. I want to hear His firsts. I want to see His firsts. First step, the breaking forth of the first tooth, the first time He says Daddy or Mama or God or Bible, the first time He learns to pat the Bible, all of those firsts. And sometimes I've had caretakers of children say to me, I see the baby's firsts, but I don't tell the mama because I want her to think that she sees the firsts. The Christian mamas want to be with those babies. They want to be the ones to answer those questions, the early questions, the important questions that have to be answered. And the window of opportunity to answer them is so very brief. It's got to be answered then, and it's got to be answered in a godly way. And those children need to be filled up with the things that are true, and nobody can teach it better than mama. And mothers are teaching right now in their homes. And I'm so thankful for the mothers of this church teaching right now in a way nobody else can equal. How valuable that home is and how important family is. One more. Here's number five. Or number six. Number six. Mother, you are unequaled in the ability to teach respect for their father. There's a principle about this. It's in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22 and following through the end of the chapter. And it talks to husbands, and he says, now, I want you to love your wife, and you love her as your own body, and you love her like Christ loved the church, which of course means that you must be willing to die for her. Nothing is too valuable that you wouldn't give it up, except your relationship with Jesus Christ, for your wife. And wives, be in submission to your own husbands as unto the Lord. The bottom verse of the chapter, verse 31, makes it very plain. It kind of summarizes the whole thing. Husbands, love your wives as your own bodies. Wives, see that you reverence your husbands. Where will the children learn? Where will they learn? Listen to me. What I have just described to you from Ephesians 5 is so cross-culture. I mean, it's really cross the grain right now in our society. Our children aren't going to learn this somewhere else. They're going to have to learn it from you, and you have to make sure that you're teaching, but you've got to teach it by your example. Mamas know, Christian mamas know, that God will not put you over if you won't be under. God won't put you over if you won't be under. How do you teach your children to obey you? Well, you could point to a number of things, I suppose, but one of them has to be that your children see in you the kind of respect for God's system and roles in the home that He's put in place. He's got to see that in you. Are we better off since feminism in America? Did we improve when we introduced feminism? Or did we do ourselves harm? Woman says, I know my rights. I want to be equal. I want to be equal in every way. When is a locomotive freer? When it's going down the track? Or when it leaves the track and just plods off in a field by itself? A woman who doesn't submit to her husband is going to have trouble with her husband. Because she'll never be what he truly needs, what God hardwired him to be and need, a help meet for him. She'll have trouble with her children because it just won't work right. God won't put you over if you won't be under. She'll have trouble with herself because she'll never find that happiness in her home that God designed her to have in this whole picture of God's intricate design. And she'll have trouble with God because she'll be disobedient to Him. And who teaches the children this? It's so vital that they learn it. Who will your boy marry? When your boy grows up, who's he going to marry? And what kinds of values will he be looking for in a woman to choose her as wife? And when your daughter grows up, what kind of mother will she be for your grandchildren? You see how vital this is. You're a link in a chain, and it's going to keep on going if the Lord lets the world stand. And you've got to put that in the children. And I'm thankful for you because the mothers of this church understand that. God is brilliant and He's awesome. And he made this business a family in a very perfect, wonderful way, a remarkable way. And he made mothers who are so very, the mother is so very important in her role. She does things nobody else can do. And she does some things that nobody can do as well as she can. And I hope this discussion has been helpful. One more thing and then we'll close. Are you a Christian? The most important thing that you could do for your children is to rear them to be Christians. There's not a close second to that. And you can't rear them to be Christians if you won't be a Christian. I want to urge you. I wonder if there's someone here this morning who needs to be baptized into Christ. Is there someone here who needs to obey the gospel, to repent of her sins, or a man, or his sins? Repent of sins and confess Jesus and be immersed, baptized this morning to become a Christian. Now, you need to do that so that you can go to heaven when you die, and you need to live your life for Christ, but also because you've got to be conscious of influencing the people who mean the most in this world to you and influence them in such a way that they too one day will go to heaven to be with God. I wonder if someone would like to obey the gospel this morning. Maybe there's someone here who is a member of the body of Christ, but you need the prayers, perhaps for your family, perhaps for some other situation you'd like for us to pray about, and we'll be happy to do that. And as is our practice, we're going to sing a song of encouragement. If there's someone here who would like to respond, come as we stand and sing.
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.